So if you've been away and you've taken this time away from studying, don't expect to pick up with the number of hours that you were doing before, because that can be quite hard, quite challenging. So build yourself up. You don't need to take a long time to build up, but make sure that you plan properly so that you don't just go straight into doing 4, 5, 6 hour stints of studying if your body and mind are just not used to it.
Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to have this wonderful person back that you might remember, Nathan from Study Buddy. Nathan, thank you for being here.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thanks ever so much for inviting me back.
Well, I love to have people back because I've learned from you. You helped me, and I know that you can help us more down the line, but I got to ask you a question first.
Sure.
What's your Campus Chronicle story?
So my career, I guess, so many to choose from. But the one I think as a defining moment in my own life. So I was quite a quiet child, quite nerdy. And when I went to university, moved away from home, it was an opportunity to reinvent myself. And so underneath, I guess I was quite the extrovert. And so I put myself forward to be the entertainment secretary of the Law Society at the university that I was at in London. And I did my entire hustings type pitch in the style of Elvis Presley. And it sort of changed everything. I'm an Essex boy. I'm not a Memphis kind of guy, as no doubt your listeners will have picked up on. So yeah, so I did, and it shaped, sort of changed everything. I found my confidence. I also found partying. it was great.
That wasn't a good thing to find.
Oh no, I don't know. I think for me, it probably really was. So the degree was important, obviously, work hard, kids. But actually living life and having fun at that point in time was really, really important. I think that sort of sense of freedom, discovering who I was, what I wanted to do, I think was almost as important as a law degree.
I love that. So we have Nathan on to discuss productivity tips, but I can tell you guys are already going to love him because he's giving you a free pass to go do your entertainment, telling you that it made just as much difference in his life. So I like to hear it. Okay, Nathan. So we discussed Study Buddy, all of that last time. I want to get a little more niche this time.
Sure.
So we're going back into university now, right? We're getting back into the swing of things. If we've had a lot of time off, if we've been working a job doing something else, and we want to get back into the swing of academics, that can be a little challenging. So I want to start with this question. If someone is getting back into the swing of studying, what is the first thing that they need to do, whether it's a mindset change or a more tangible, practical thing?
Sure. So I think my advice for someone getting back into that routine would absolutely be, don't try to pick up exactly where you left off. If you were managing to do many hours a week of study, you've had an enjoyable summer, partying or holidaying or working hard or whatever else it is that you may have been doing.
Look at Nathan, he's giving you guys the green light to do anything.
I've got a horrible feeling this may come back to bite me, especially if my children
do legal things.
We'll do that. Exactly. Yes, please do legal things. So if you've been away and you've taken this time away from studying, don't expect to pick up with the number of hours that you were doing before, because that can be quite hard, quite challenging. So build yourself up. You don't need to take a long time to build up, but make sure that you plan properly so that you don't just go straight into doing 4, 5, 6 hour stints of studying if your body and mind are just not used to it.
I love that. And that's really hard because I know that I've done that in the past. When I was going back into university, I would have this wonderful summer. I wasn't partying. I was usually just swimming and having a nice time, but I would have a great time. And then I would put so much immense pressure on myself to be productive, to make it all happen, to, you know, fill up my calendar with these social and academic things. And then I had to get it all done. Exactly. And going from unstructured to structured was hard. What role does pressure play in this productivity conversation?
So pressure is really interesting. Well, it's a great question because we need pressure. Some of us thrive under pressure. We'll tell you that. But too much pressure is a very, very clearly bad, leads to all kinds of mental health issues across an entire spectrum, from needing to see a doctor through to a more mild anxiety that might keep us awake at night. And all of that will change by individual person. So for me, I was a last minute kind of a person. So many an essay were written in the 24 hours before the deadline. And I convinced myself that actually I work best in that kind of context. For me, I did need that looming deadline because there's the adrenaline, it's the focus, it's all of those kinds of things. At the same time, actually leaving myself 24 hours was ridiculous because I could create my own deadline that might have been a day before that. It would still give me 24 hours to proofread, to make sure that my documents didn't get infected by viruses, which was more often than not the case 25 years ago. And then that panic that ensues. So pressure, we need to find out, I think, individually, what level of pressure do you shine best at? As I say, we need some, but we just don't want too much. There's also a danger that if we give ourselves too much pressure, we constrict ourselves specifically with too short a deadline, that actually not only are we not going to do our best because we don't have the chance to read and refine and critique and all of those kinds of things, but actually we might end up just checking out, thinking there's no possible way that I can do this 5,000 word dissertation with a bottle of Jim Beam in 6 hours, in which case I'm not going to bother. There's no point. Well, of course, there is a point. Had we obstructed our time more carefully, then there's plenty of time for everything.
I have kind of a follow-up to the first question, because I love everything you said about pressure being necessary to some degree. What is the difference, though, between good pressure and bad pressure? Can you describe what that feels like or what that looks like?
I'm not, as much as I like to answer questions, I'm not entirely sure that I can for you any more than I could for anyone else. I can describe what it feels like for me, but I suspect that actually that's how it manifests is very different from one person to the next. Mm. And actually what can sometimes feel like bad pressure might actually just be that sense of urgency that we're feeling, because I suspect that a lot of this actually comes down to our caveman and woman ancestry of fight or flight, that actually I've got a deadline. I know that it's important. I'm not sure that cavemen and women have deadlines, but there's a looming thing. There's something that's important. How do I react to that? And so our body's firing up. And so for me, sort of the bad pressure, or the pressure that I feel, I try to look at more as motivation. So it's more about the energy and the enthusiasm. And I think to an extent, and I'm not necessarily sure if this is a professional opinion, you may have another guest who'll disagree. But I think to a certain extent, the way that we perceive the pressure that we're feeling is as much about actually whether it's good or bad as whether or not the feeling itself is good or bad. I'm hoping that made sense.
That makes total sense.
Very, very individual, I think.
Mm-hmm. And it's about how you feel about yourself as well. If the pressure makes you feel dedicated, motivated, accomplished, like you can do hard things, that's excellent. But if the pressure makes you, exactly as you said, check out, feel demotivated, feel down, feel dismissed, then that's obviously an indicator. It's indicative that you probably need to look at your study habits and see what you could do so that you don't feel those feelings.
Exactly right. And I think that the pressure that we feel isn't associated to the result that we'll have in any case. So whether I were to be leaving my essays to the last minute or starting a bit earlier, the pressure might still feel the same, and that sense of nervousness, if not anxiety, when it comes to handing my my piece of work in. But the pressure that I feel by leaving it late, and me feeling or convincing myself, fooling myself, that that's the kind of pressure that I need to work under, had actually a negative impact on the results. It wasn't productive. It was certainly undermined the level of achievement that I think I could have had I been more structured at the time.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think we convince ourselves that we need to work in certain ways when it's not necessarily true?
I think a lot of that comes down to what it is that you're doing in the moment. So if we were to lay out a priority list of all the things that we needed to do, I could rank 4, 5, 6 jobs now, and I'd Eisenhower matrix, perhaps something that's important versus urgent. And I can do this whole scheme of planning. And if I haven't accounted for having fun, if I haven't accounted for all of the other bits and pieces that might fill my day, then that planning exercise is for nothing. Because anyone will tell you how busy they are. I'm so busy, I can't possibly do this other thing. But if their kettle broke and they needed a new kettle, if their car broke down and needed to be fixed, you would find time to do the things that's urgent and pressing. In the same way, at the other end of the spectrum, that I could probably easily spend half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour, two, more, who knows, scrolling through Instagram without actually realizing what the time is. And so that lack of productivity comes from the fact that I wasn't realistic about how I want to spend my time as much as how I need to spend my time. So prioritizing the big tasks is for nothing if I haven't allowed for the fact that I'm an absolute social media addict, for example.
I like that, how you want to spend your time. Because it's really easy to say, I can go from meeting to meeting. I can fit these amount of things into my day or these amount of study blocks. But that's not a realistic way to plan your life if that's not how you operate.
Exactly right. Which is why we always advocate that when we look at managing time, which for me underlines all productivity and effective working habits, is when you manage your time, the very first thing that you should do is block out your commitments. So these are the things that I have to do. I can't get out of them. Even if I wanted to, I still need to go to this lecture. I still need to go to my job of an evening or a weekend or whatever it might be. So once you've done your commitments, then the next thing for me is block out free time, because life is for living as much as it is for studying, if the lecturers are listening. It's absolutely key to me that actually we have a social life, that we enjoy life and sort of the day-to-day bits and pieces that come with that. So make time for going out with friends. Make time for the party someone's having off campus within legal parameters, obviously. Make time for the lie-in that you want the following morning, so that you can then fit in the tasks and the things that you need to do around that. And for me, certainly at the student stage, either university, college, or even younger, actually that's critical, because then it doesn't feel overwhelming. It doesn't feel that, well, I've got these people telling me that I need to study, because actually that's not the case. What we're telling you to do is work, study hard, study smart. Make sure that you're actually building in time to enjoy yourself and being young.
Mm-hmm. Being a human. When somebody sits down, I like that study smart. When somebody sits down, they're in their dedicated block of time, they're going to study. What does it look like to be productive in that block of time?
Again, great question. So within that block of time, being productive is about getting the most out of that time, squeezing as much effort, extracting all of the goodness as you can out of that amount of time. Productivity isn't about how much time you spend. It's about how well you use the time that you've allocated. And often we'll default to things that feel easy, feel comfortable, certainly if it comes down to studying for something that may not be necessarily interested in doing. So we'll default to reading through notes or highlighting great swathes of text because actually I feel like I'm doing something. The problem with that is that we know from all manner of cognitive, behavioral, and evidence-based thinking that actually that's not effective. That's not active. We need you to be challenging yourself. It needs to feel uncomfortable. Ideally, you're doing some work and you're getting it wrong, because that's where real progress is being made. So productivity comes from really pushing yourself and making yourself feel a bit uncomfortable, I guess, with the things, because you're highlighting things that you don't know. By highlighting things that you don't know, you know that you need to work on those areas. So there are, I mean, a whole raft of techniques and tips on what those revision or studying activities might look like. But they're all about recall. It's all about reaching into your long-term memory, bringing that back so that in an exam situation, for example, you're able to recall it and sort of use it in those circumstances. It is also worth saying, though, that we can't be uber productive all of the time. So there is a sort of a school of thought, I guess, that says that successful people are always productive, and may be true, but the levels of productivity are not always the same. So if you find that your motivation has dipped, that you're finding yourself in a half an hour study block and you're just not feeling it, either the party was actually that good, or it's just one of those days, I'm not really feeling it today, then find those lower involvement activities like reading notes, like listening to a great podcast or YouTube video, whatever it might be, and accept that actually this isn't as effective as I could be, but it is still doing something. And so identifying those swim lanes, if you like, of effort is a great way of making sure that you don't waste your time. And that the time where you're then feeling a bit more motivated, a bit more enthusiastic, can be for those past papers, they can be for some much more meaty study sessions.
I have so much to say to that. And I love everything that you said, because here's a couple things that I found true for me is I'm not a math person, just to be completely blunt with you. And what I would do is I would try to do some math. I would pick up my cell phone. I would try to do math. I would pick up my cell phone. And I would convince myself or tell myself that I was super productive. I was getting so much math done, when in reality, I was essentially just skirting math. And what my workaround ended up being was I love music, very, very passionate about music. I ended up listening to music while doing math. Would that work for everybody? Likely no, but it worked for me. And the second thing I have to say is about all time being productive. I found for me personally that some of my most productive times come directly after resting. And there's this huge narrative that rest or play is not productive, when in reality, that's when I get my very best ideas.
Absolutely. And there's a number of things with that. I think we focus an awful lot on the form and the structure, managing time, revision techniques, etc. But actually, we are the machine that is that's driving this study effort forwards, if you'll forgive my rather extended metaphor. And actually, the way that we look after ourselves is absolutely key. So making sure that you get a good night's sleep, whether that starts later in the night than I might go to bed or not, make sure you're getting your full quota of hours. Make sure you're eating well. Nutrition is so underrated. We know that it's important, because we'll say it, 5 a day, 7 a day, don't have processed fats, whatever it might be. We can say the words, but actually, are you really getting a good balanced diet so that your body is fueled in the way that it needs to be when you need it to be there? And the other thing is light, natural light. The importance of actually getting out into sunlight, or daylight, is absolutely key. You just can't beat it. The restorative nature of being out there in the fresh air. We instantly typically feel relaxed when sort of the sun is against your skin, and it's that kind of thing. So you're absolutely right. If you need to have good rest, or you need to play a video game to sort of get whatever's in your head out of the head, all of that's all good. Make sure that you're looking after yourself is absolutely key.
Oh, and I'm going to add, drink water.
Yes.
Water is underrated. You should probably drink it. I feel so much better when I drink enough water and stay hydrated versus when I don't.
Absolutely. I wish I had the stats to hand, but the brain needs water. Obviously the body does as well, but there's so much of it that doesn't function. If your body's dehydrating, it'll go into a survival mode. And so, yeah, absolutely, everything just becomes more tricky. It's the same way with the minerals and the nutrients. Make sure you've got the right salts. And this doesn't need to be like we're gearing up for an Olympic event. It's just a good, steady management of life. And there are some easy trips, like don't drink caffeine before you go to bed. And I say this as someone who used to, reformed, get through 20 to 25 shots of espresso within the course of a day. I could happily have something before going to bed and not believe that it affected me. But of course, my heart is still having to work harder, all these kinds of things. So look up what those easy wins are and just follow them.
And it's so nice too, because when you have an easy win, you can mark it off your checklist, right? And feel good about yourself. Because when you feel good about the things that you're doing, it's going to help you feel good about your study habits. I have a hard question.
Oh, okay.
I know you can tackle it though. So if you were going to give three tangible pieces of studying advice to students, what would those three pieces of advice be?
Okay. So I think my three pieces of advice would be plan and prioritize. So make sure that you know, that's one. Make sure that you know what it is that you've got to do, what's important, what deadlines are looming, your urgent stuff, and make sure that you factor it in a realistic sense. Don't be crazy about thinking I can work for 7 hours after lectures if you've never been able to before. The other thing that I would suggest is that you need to concentrate on your techniques. So if you're preparing for an exam, for example, we're looking for active activities that we're getting wrong, and we need to learn to relish that failure, if you like, or the setbacks that we have. So using active recall and spacing things out so that you're coming back to really getting your mind working, that's absolutely key. And the other thing that I would, my other advice is to have faith in yourself. That sounds a little twee, I think, especially coming from an Englishman, but there's a level of self-belief. You need to back yourself into knowing that you can do these things. If mentally you're not in your own corner, then what we'll tend to do is check out. It's all getting too much. It wasn't for me. So the whole mindset that says, do you know what? I may not, but I'm going to give it a good go. Let's see what's the worst that could happen. And if the worst that can happen is you figured out that actually I'm no good at robotic engineering or whatever it might be, then at least you've ticked off something, and you should feel good about the fact that you've tried and put yourself out there. So back yourself is my third, but probably not final one.
I like that. I like that. And particularly like the first one, because you have to be honest with yourself. If you're not honest with yourself about what is realistic for you, what you are capable of doing in a day or a week or a month, you're setting yourself up to have a painful experience when you didn't have to. So absolutely. I love all those. I love number one the most.
Mm. I mean, the number of times that we'll chat to students who have, we'll talk to them about planning. They'll love the idea. They'll get hold of it. They'll go, yes, I'm going to do it. And then they'll pop in of an evening's work, revising for exams, 5 or 6 hours worth of work. And you look at the students thinking, you look like a great person, but I don't reckon you don't strike me as being 5 to 6 hours studying. How much did you do last week? And if I'm honest, I didn't do anything last week. So what on earth makes you think that you're going to now do 30 hours in the week, having not wanted to do anything last week? Love the enthusiasm, but you need that level of realism. Because if you don't, and you set yourself up to do 7 hours on a piece of coursework or whatever it might be, and you don't, you're going to throw the whole lot away and just say, that's not for me, and then try something else. Whereas in actual fact, time is marching on. All you need to do is figure out how you best hook into that and use the time that's available to you. And being realistic is absolutely central to that.
I like what you said about enthusiasm and realism, because you have to have that mix. It can't be all or nothing. With studying, you can't do it 100 hours a week, and you can't do it 0 hours a week if you want to actually be sustainable if you want to be long-term successful. Mm-hmm. Nathan, if somebody wants to learn more about Study Buddy, if they want to connect with you on socials, where do they go?
So the website is always the first port of call. So thestudybuddy.com. While we are a UK-focused organization in terms of the things that we provide, the advice on there is relevant to absolutely everyone. So do check us out and get in touch. Socials are plastered on the website, I'm sure, as are email addresses and WhatsApp. And always delighted to chat and hear from people.
I love that. And I've loved having you back on because we had such a beautiful overview last time. But this time is more niche, so we'll have to see if we can bring you on for another concept and see what we could do next time. But with people going back to university, with so much happening, being that busy back to school time, I thought it would be beautiful to come in, help us refresh and renew our study habits so we're not doing things that are not a good choice and don't serve us going into the new year.
So I think you're exactly right. I think this is the... This is the perfect time to start reviewing that. So you go in fired up, ready to go, not floundering about. So yeah, I think you're onto something.
You can harness that beautiful enthusiasm that you only get at the very beginning before you get a little bit of that burnout to creep in. So we want to harness all that beautiful energy. Nathan, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you so much for being here. I've had a great time with you. And I thank you so much to everyone for listening to another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast.
So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.